Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good Monday morning, everybody. And who's more embarrassed today? Elliot Spitzer, after the biting front page endorsements of his opponent, Scott Stringer, in the Post and Daily News over the weekend? Or the Post and the Daily News for showing Spitzer in photoshopped underwear in the Post case? Or a misspelling controller on the front page in the case of the Daily News, though they may have done it on purpose. I'm not actually quite sure. Who should be more embarrassed? Oh, by the way, the Times endorsed Stringer, too, over the weekend with more dignity, but same message. Spitzer is a liar, a cheat, and a bully in a china shop. Vote for the other guy. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Republican Party kicking ABC – I should say NBC and CNN out of Republican primary debates for 2016 and other Monday morning politics – with Ben Smith, editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed. Hi, Ben. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And, Ben, I'm glad it's you for Monday Morning Politics this week, since you can do both national and local as a former Daily News columnist. Are you surprised that all three local newspapers endorsed Stringer over Spitzer this weekend?
No. I mean, this, you know, Spitzer, when he was governor, really wore out his welcome. And you know, I think part of the reason that he was ushered so quickly off stage in the prostitution scandal was that there was this sense that that everything that had made him a good attorney general had made him a terrible governor. And so I think a lot of kind of pent up exasperation with him is coming out now.
I guess I'm wondering about the Times and a little bit about the news. I mean, the Post tries to kill effective Democrats for a living. That's what they do. But I'm surprised that neither the Times nor the News wound up even seriously considering, in their language, landing on the plausible argument for Spitzer, which is that he's just a more aggressive, crusading do-gooder than Stringer will probably ever be, and then hope that Spitzer learned his lessons, both in honesty and diplomacy, from his flame-out governorship.
Well, if we're going to get into the details, there are two different things here. The Daily News has had a problem with Spitzer for years, since he, in their view, lied to them about borrowing money from his father to run for attorney general the first time. It's still in dispute how legal that was, whether he was spending his own money or, in fact, spending his father's money, which would not have been permitted under the law.
Right.
And the News has basically considered him a liar ever since and had a problem with him over that. And the Times also, that editorial had a real kind of personal edge. Like, it wasn't just that, it was that they really don't like the guy. I mean, there's certainly something about, I think, some people who have dealt with him really dislike him.
By the way, did you see the Daily News misspelled comptroller right on the front page, spelled it controller? Do you think they did that on purpose to convey some double meaning, like Spitzer wants to control things?
You know, that I think that actually is an acceptable spelling. That's how it used to be spelled more often, and you still sometimes see it. So I'm not sure you should be reading Daily News headlines quite that closely.
Well, we know it's comptroller. But yes, actually, one of my producers is telling me right now, yeah, well, you can kind of spell it either way. Even though you usually see it as C-O-M-P-T. All right, changing topics. The Republican National Committee meeting in Boston over the weekend, as they tear each other apart over what to do in Washington, like whether to threaten to shut down the government over Obamacare, they agreed on at least one thing, and that is to deny CNN and NBC any Republican presidential primary debates in 2016, because both these networks are planning programs about Hillary Clinton. Here is RNC Chairman Reince Priebus on ABC This Week.
I'm trying to get a hold of a primary process and a debate debacle that, as you know, I've called a traveling circus. The fact of the matter is, I've got to protect this party and our nominees. We don't want a whole lot of 23 debate rounds like we've had before. And I would just say that entities like NBC and CNN that are moving forward with four-part miniseries about Hillary Clinton are not going to take part in our debates. And look, if you're not going to have 23 debates, these guys are making it a lot easier for us to pare that down to a reasonable number in front of people and entities that actually give a darn about the future of the Republican Party.
So Ryan Priebus, RNC chair, with George Stephanopoulos on ABC yesterday. Ben Smith, editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed, is with us. And Ben, what's this really about?
Well, I mean, the Republicans really do think that particularly NBC, and it's, you know, obviously its sister MSNBC doesn't give them a fair shake. I mean, at this point, Fox News is the sort of branded news outlet of the Republican Party. That's their home court.
Although certainly CNBC gives Wall Street and conservative viewpoints on the economy a real fair shake, but I digress.
Yes, that is true, but that's not the overwhelming. You know, the all-day political coverage making them most crazy is on MSNBC.
Right.
I mean, I would not say this necessarily means there won't be debates on those channels, but it means it's the beginning of a negotiation. I mean, these debates are always a negotiation, and if NBC or CNN do wind up participating in Republican debates, no doubt there are concessions in terms of control of the format that the Republicans would like, and, you know, this will be negotiating from a position of strength.
Priebus almost seemed to say in that clip that he wants to have fewer debates anyway because it was such a traveling circus that probably wound up hurting Romney in the long run in the general election in 2012, that this might just be a convenient excuse to cut back on the number of debates they could have. How much do you think that's behind this?
Oh, I think that's certainly part of it. I mean, I think it's an attempt for them to retake control of the process and to structure a process that's in the best interests of the ultimate nominee, not the best interests of kind of random people who want attention like Herman Cain.
Right, and was in the lead for 5 minutes during that
race. The more debates you have, the more opportunity for fringe characters to kind of catch fire for a minute, distract everybody, pull the nominee into a debate over some, you know, godforsaken subject that he would never have otherwise talked about. You know, the interest of whoever the ultimate nominee is to minimize all of that kind of unpredictable drama.
Listeners, you want to get in on some Monday morning politics with Ben Smith from BuzzFeed here. Are you influenced by the news, the Post, or the New York Times editorial on something like who to vote for in a Democratic controller or comptroller primary? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. If you're a Republican, are you indignant that CNN and NBC are producing Hillary Clinton-related programs? Democrats, if you're indignant about their being indignant, how about if they were doing some Chris Christie biopics? Would you feel differently then? Those would be marketable, and they might do them for commercial purposes. And then you'd think, oh, they're giving a Republican presidential hopeful a leg up. 212-433-WNYC. And we'll also get into the possibility that Republicans in Congress might shut down the government or threaten to over Obamacare. Ray Kelly making the Sunday talk show rounds yesterday, 212-433-9692. Ben, still on this Republican National Committee debates CNN, NBC thing, one article I read over the weekend suggested that both networks are asking the RNC to hold off on this decision until they see the Hillary programs. And that struck me as perhaps the networks being successfully intimidated by the RNC to some degree and now striving to make sure they don't make Hillary look too good. What do you think is causing, or what do you think this whole thing is causing in the networks' front offices?
I mean, these organizations are incredibly skittish and nervous about what people think about them and subject to political pressure and the sort of ref working that both political parties have long mastered. I mean, I think, you know, the thing is, I suspect CNN and NBC were always going to produce pretty straight ahead, you know, programs. It seems unlikely to me that these programs will be massive national events that captivate the nation. There's a lot out there about the Clintons.
And I assume the RNC makes it sound as if the networks themselves are trying to help Clinton politically for political reasons because they're liberal shills. But I suspect these are purely commercial decisions to produce these programs because Hillary Clinton is of great interest. Am I naive?
No, that's right. Yes, she's a subject of huge national interest, and she's likely to be the next president. You know, and so I think they're producing them for, you know, very not even commercial, just sort of straight ahead journalistic reasons. I mean,
and by then
she's an interesting subject.
And by 2016, they may make biopics of Chris Christie. Who knows? As a marketable political figure. Maybe I shouldn't use the word figure in relation to Chris Christie. But
and I actually think that, I mean, I think in some ways a Clinton biopic is kind of a challenge. I mean, there's just a lot. People know a lot about Hillary Clinton.
Right. So to present something they don't
know.
Not to make it boring and repetitive. And to kind of do a warts and all. You know, Maureen Dowd, who's been defending Democrats a lot lately, did one of her famous takedowns of the Clintons in her column the other day. So, you know, what goes around comes around when you're Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and there's a generation of journalists who Dad kind of embodies who really hate the Clintons and just really, you know, are sort of shaped through the lens of all the lies they were told by the Clintons and their spokespeople in the 90s. I mean, there's a really deeply toxic relationship between much of the press and the Clintons that's going to wind up shaping a lot of the coverage of her campaign. I don't think the Republicans have anything to worry about.
Gail and Chelsea are on WNYC. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I was just wondering if you or your guests had read the article on Scott Stringer in the Friday New York Times, which absolutely disqualified him for comptroller, whatever you call
you think,
it.
What is it that got you about that article?
That he was such an incompetent in restaurant management.
Oh, in restaurant. That article. I'm trying to think. What article is she talking about? Right, where he left government for a while and dabbled in running a restaurant. Does that really disqualify him as controller?
I was stunned to find out he was Bella Abzug's cousin.
Yes, how about that?
Oh, my gosh.
They got kind of the same way of talking, you know. So,
all
right, Gail, thank you very much. Bob in Woodside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
What's extraordinary about the whole RNC flap is that isn't it true that Fox Entertainment was supposed to produce this thing for NBC? And until this past weekend, when they pulled out of it, there was no mention by the Republicans that they were going to boycott Fox over this.
Shh. They're not supposed to know Fox was going to produce this.
Well, but I think we should say it, for one thing. For another thing, what made the Republican debates clownish? What made it a circus? Not the media, the candidates.
Bob,
the candidates made it a circus.
Yeah, they know that full well, and I think this is as much an attempt to shut down the kind of candidates that they had last time and to prevent oxygen from going to Newt Gingrich and Herman Cain as it is anything else.
Thanks, Bob. And what was Fox Productions' role in, and now I can't keep my network straight. Who they were producing something for NBC?
I think they had a role. I thought they still did, but I think I must not be up to date.
No, there wasn't. I did see a piece over the weekend about Fox now deciding that they're not going to be involved in producing this Hillary Clinton show.
Yes. So you're ahead of me. I mean, you know, I mean, it's but again, these things are not. Like, this kind of media politics is not really about what it appears to be about. It's not about these Clinton specials, which seems to me very unlikely to move the needle.
And
it's about the Republicans and the, sort of trying to seize control of their primary process.
And in case we think these networks always compete with each other, Fox produces a show subcontracted by NBC or CNN. I think CBS and NBC Radio are owned by the same company, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of incestuous business dealings in that little world of network media. Matthew in Highland Park, you're on WNYC. You care about the editorials?
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to speak a little more broadly about the power of the editorials. And I was particularly struck yesterday by an editorial in the New York Times that talked about the mayoral candidates in New York City and their record on environmentalism and how they're going to have to carry an environmental legacy moving forward. A legacy that the New York Times said had been carried out, you know, relatively successfully by Mayor Bloomberg.
Right.
And I thought elevating important issues leading up to an endorsement, I think is a very powerful role that a newspaper can play. And I prefer that certainly. I prefer that in election coverage, in opinion election coverage, than just having a candidate's point of view out for consumption, and which can be destructive, when you're looking at an either or debate.
Absolutely, it's a central role of the media to interpret and help their readers or listeners or viewers understand the context of things and pull pieces of facts together that regular folks in their lives who are not journalists don't have time to pull together. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be all about, or at least a big part of it. And so when they endorse a candidate, does that also influence you?
It does to a point. I mean, I think at that point, I personally just following politics probably have made up my mind already, but certainly it either validates my opinion or makes me think again. I do tend to vote with one party, so when it gets close to the election, I usually know who I'm voting for.
Matthew, thank you for your call. I appreciate it as we continue with Ben Smith, editor of BuzzFeed. And I saw that article on BuzzFeed over the weekend, Ben, about the Republicans fighting among themselves in a lose-lose debate over whether to threaten to shut down the government this fall unless Obamacare is repealed. Who's pushing that in Congress, and how serious is it?
Well, I mean, a big chunk of the House conservatives were really elected to stop Obamacare at any cost. I mean, this is like the first thing that they were sent there to Washington to do. And so and the House leadership and the party leadership has found it kind of persistently very difficult to steer them away from that.
By the way, listeners, speaking of candidates and candidates' debates, I should mention that Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I'll be one of the questioners in the WNYC, New York One, and also with the New York Times. David Chen from the New York Times will be with us, too. Democratic mayoral primary debate, that's 7 o'clock p.m. live here on WNYC and on New York One. And we're taking question suggestions, so why don't you tweet them at me, at Brian Lehrer, on Twitter, and we're going to have a big meeting about this tomorrow, and we'll figure out which questions we're going to ask on Wednesday night. Tweet your Democratic mayoral candidate debate question suggestions at Brian Lehrer, then tune in Wednesday night at 7. Ben, can I get your take on Ray Kelly making the Sunday talk show rounds after the stop and frisk court ruling? Here he is on CBS Face the Nation, denouncing the judge's order to have some cops wear body cameras to document their stops.
The body camera issue opens up certainly more questions than it answers. When do you have the cameras on? When do you turn them off? Do you have it on during a domestic dispute? Do you have it on when somebody comes to give you confidential information? All of these issues have to be answered.
Ben, you're the son of a judge, if I remember correctly. What do you make of all this?
I mean, those seem like really small, marginal issues that would be quite easy to answer. It's funny. Kelly had been seen as this, sort of leading figure in American law enforcement, but I do think that he's now increasingly kind of I think at a moment when he wants to be the director of Homeland Security and seems like he's being seriously considered as that, he's also in a way kind of being positioned as a figure of the past, which is probably not where he wants to be, fighting technology. I mean, this is exactly the sort of thing people always say whenever there's any new technology. Well, it raises these very challenging questions. Do you leave it on during domestic disputes? Like, no, probably not. I mean, I don't know. Like, but it seems like that's a question that the people like Ray Kelly could answer. But it wouldn't be hard.
Well, I was wondering why Kelly was going on the national Sunday shows with this New York City controversy. You suggest it might be because he's being considered for Homeland Security Secretary.
Yeah, that's his name certainly been out there for that. And I think, it's interesting. I think people here have a very complicated relationship with him. I was asked Anthony Weiner, who's been blasting him on Stop and Frisk, whether whether that disqualified him as Homeland Security Secretary. He said no, he thought he'd make a great Homeland Security Secretary because he wouldn't be empowered to stop and frisk anybody.
He wouldn't be in New York. He'd be a great public official, just not here. Which is, I think, the same thing that the New York Times poll on Bloomberg found the other. Yeah, we'd like him to run for, not for mayor again, but yeah, somewhere. Des Moines, I don't know. Ben Smith, editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Glenn Greenwald's partner is detained at Heathrow Airport under Britain's so-called Terrorist Act. Stay with us.